You're listening to episode 6 of Presence and Purpose. So today I am talking with Ashley Fernandez. She is a marketing strategist and coach, and we are talking about mindset and messaging and marketing. And this is a really super juicy, value-packed episode. You definitely want to carve out an hour to be able to sit down and listen to this. You know, if you're listening in the car or while you're cooking dinner, it's definitely something you're going to want to go back and listen to later if you can't take notes now. So we talk about, you know, kind of getting over some of the beginner mindset things that we all go through. We talk a lot about creating really specific messaging that really speaks directly to that perfect client for you. And then she also shares a really great formula for creating high converting content that will work with whatever type of content you create, whether it's a podcast or Instagram posts or, you know, having a Facebook group. So anyways, here it is. Hey guys, so today I am talking with Ashley, and we are talking about creating high converting content. And so we're going to be discussing mindset and messaging and marketing and all that good stuff. So Ashley is a marketing strategist and coach, and she's incredible. And I'm very excited that you're here today.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah. So why don't you start out by telling everyone a little bit about you, maybe where you're at in your business journey, and then we'll go from there.
Okay, perfect. Like you said, I am a marketing strategist and coach, and I specifically work with entrepreneurs who are in that kind of scaling stage of their business. My ideal clients usually are the ones that are very driven, very ambitious, have a big desire for impact, but they are taking on a lot of the wrong clients because, you know, we all have to pay the bills, right? So yeah, they are kind of wearing all the hats, kind of feel a little bit all over the place in their business. So I kind of come in and really help them identify their expertise and then create a high-end offer and then create a marketing strategy and then get them out there creating content that brings them perfect fit clients who will pay that price and not blink an eye at it, and really kind of just give them a lot of clarity in their business. So as far as me, I've been doing this now for almost 5 years. I originally started out as a blogger. I went to school for marketing and worked in corporate marketing for several years. And then as the millennial I am, I decided to go back to school and do something completely different, which was dental assisting. And I realized a year in, I missed marketing and that I'm really good at it and I love it. And so I decided to start a blog on a whim as a creative outlet. In less than 1 year, that blog took me full-time, replaced my full-time income, and I decided to stay home. I was also found out I was pregnant with my daughter, so perfect timing to, you know, transition out of the 9-to-5, and then took it on full-time and, you know, was doing the blogging for a while, but had people reaching out, how did you do this? Tell me your secrets, you know, all these things. And I thought it was kind of common sense, which I have totally realized is not. So yeah, I just started helping people create a marketing strategy and a plan and really started to realize though that there were a couple foundational things missing that we had to go back and really fill in the cracks. And yeah, and then finally, you know, one of my friends, I'd helped her. She said, you need to be doing this. Like, you need to be coaching. Like, this is exactly what you need to be doing. And I was like, no, people know this stuff. And, lo and behold, they did not know this stuff. So I'd signed on my very first client, and fell in love with it, started, you know, tweaking and rearranging my signature offer. And, so I've been doing that. That's where I'm at in my journey. And, I get to work with amazing women and really just help them figure out their expertise, their gifts and talents, you know, to share with the world.
I love that you said that you had someone like that outside perspective of like, no, not everyone's good at this. Cause I think it's so easy to take it or take for granted, like what we're good at as far as like, you know, when I'm like helping women with their brand and like seeing that, having that skill, like you just assume that everyone else has it.
I know.
Yeah. Not 100%. Everyone else has it. Yeah.
Yeah. I think too that I think because sometimes women aren't really confident in knowing that they have, you know, this expertise, mm-hmm. I feel like they don't really show up because they don't feel like someone's going to listen to them. And then I also feel like maybe they don't think they're good enough. So they start looking around at all these other successful people and, you know, a lot of the times trying to copy what they're doing because they're like, oh, well, they are good enough. So let me do what they're doing. And then they really like diminish their amazing gift. And I'm like, no, no, no. Like, let's, you know, dig back and really, you know, own that because, when you really own what you're amazing at, like amazing things happen. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And I know I personally, it took me a while to really like own my expertise and really feel comfortable being like, this is my area of expertise. Mm-hmm. And it's just, I think it's so important for people to hear that because like, you know, someone like you, who you are totally owning what you do, it's like, even you, like everyone who's successful in what they're doing now has that point where they're like, you know, trying to figure out what that thing is that they're really good at and really own that.
Yeah.
And it's such a process, like
yes.
such oh a process gosh. To yeah. figure this all out. And I know that's something that you're going to touch on is just kind of, this foundational process of like when we're looking at, you know, creating high converting content and our messaging and our marketing, like there's foundational stuff that we skip yes. over because we just want to like get down to business and it like yeah. that foundation is so important. So why don't yeah. you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So like I said, I kind of work with those women who are in that scaling stage. Like they already have an established business, but they want to grow, right? Like they want to reach the next level, but they're at capacity because again, they are working with clients who aren't the great fit. And usually what I find is that a lot of them don't have a core foundation when it comes to their ideal client. They may think, oh my gosh, they may think they know their ideal client. I have seen 6- and 7-figure business owners still not have this down packed. Doesn't mean they can't make money, right? It's just a lot harder for them. Mm-hmm. And they are working with those clients who drive them nuts or that are, you know, taking up a lot of their time and they get very inconsistent results. Mm-hmm. And so they don't really know 100% who their ideal client is. They also don't have their offer positioned to be a perfect fit for that ideal client. And again, people think, oh, well, my offer is selling, but are your clients like coming to you consistently? And are they perfect fit clients? Are they getting amazing results? Are they, you know, having, you know, 6-7 times ROI on the investment that they put in with you? A lot of people will say no, right? Because they don't have it positioned. An example I really like to use was this is like, say you're a fitness coach and you say, I help women lose weight. Okay. It's very vague. And I see this a lot, you know, it's very vague and you see that a lot. And I even see this again with people who make $60,000-$70,000 a year in their business. And I tell them, okay, well, what exactly is the vehicle in which you get them from point A to point B? And what do they bring to the table to be at point A? And a lot of them are like, okay, well, I just helped them lose weight. Well, if your vehicle is, say, something like CrossFit, right? Like, you can't just say I help women lose weight because a woman is 18 to, you know, 100 years old. And a 65-year-old woman is not going to be a perfect fit for CrossFit. Totally not saying that they can't rock it, right? Like, I'm sure there is a 65-year-old woman out there who is amazing at CrossFit. But for you, it's a lot easier to position your service or your offer to fit the people who already want it. And I feel like a lot of people in their content are constantly trying to convince mm-hmm. people that they need what they offer. And it's like, why are you trying to convince people that they need it? Why don't you go ahead and target the people who want it? and who are a perfect fit to get you. So, you know, you say, I help people lose weight. Well, it's going to be a lot harder for you to help a 300-pound man who wants to lose, or I guess woman, since that's the example. But if a 300-pound woman came to you and you wanted to help her lose weight, and let's say you wanted to help her lose 50 pounds, it's going to be a lot harder for her to lose weight than over someone who is maybe 170 pounds who wants to lose 50 pounds, who, you know, if you look at their background, they've already maybe exercised before. They've already dieted. They already know, and they already have that mindset. They just need accountability. Mm-hmm. Versus this 300-pound woman who's never exercised in her life, eats fast food 24/7. It's going to be a lot harder for her to get the results through your vehicle, right? Because it's so broad, but you're attracting both. Do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people will think that that's enough. They cast this huge wide net instead of focusing on one specific result and having that perfectly positioned to mm-hmm. fit that perfect scenario, right? Like fit mm-hmm. that perfect person that's lined up with that. I see it in the coaching world too. As a coach, I see so many people say like, oh, I help you get to six figures. Well, it'd be a lot easier to help someone get to six figures who is already making $50,000-$60,000 a year, right? Versus someone who's brand new, is afraid to show up, has a scarcity mindset, doesn't believe that she's capable of doing it, versus someone who's already has an established business, they just need to up level. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to get those results. But I feel like people are trying to, with their offer, they're trying to offer too many things in one offer, and what they're offering is not a perfect fit for the person that they serve. And again, I think that's also to the fact that they are trying to do what everyone else is doing. And they look around and they say, oh, well, this person's doing Instagram and they're getting lots of clients on Instagram and this person's on Facebook and I'm trying to do this and help with all these things. But really, if they own their expertise and figured out really what they're good at and what they can really help in, it would be game changer for them.
I think what you're saying plays a huge role too, with just like having confidence, as far as like when your offer, like when you are positioning yourself in a way that fits the right people, then your clients are getting better results. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you have to push through that resistance of like, I don't want to turn people away, or like, mm-hmm. you know, all the resistance that people have to getting super specific. And again, that's another process too, with like, I feel like, you know, in my own business, I have over time gotten a little bit more specific. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the more specific you get, the better results you're going to get and the better Absolutely. Clients you're going to get.
Nail on the head. And I think a lot of people don't really understand that, or mm-hmm. they make the mistake of thinking that they're specific and they aren't really. And you can tell because they're not getting the consistent clients that they want, or they are kind of like all over the place. And you know, I'm not just saying this because I'm a coach, but really having someone else come into your business and see those blind spots that you can't see is so crucial. It was so crucial for me. I mean, just, you know, having worked with a coach, I have, you know, repositioned and really found my expertise. When before I was kind of helping here and there and in so many different areas, you know, I was trying to help people grow like their podcast because of marketing. And I'm like, oh, I have a creative idea for this and this and this. And really at the end of the day, like my expertise is messaging and creating a signature offer that is a perfect fit for your client. And again, that was a huge gap that I saw, because I do feel like a lot of entrepreneurs offer so many different things. And they have all these custom packages, right? Because this client comes to them and they're like, oh, well, I need this. And they're like, oh yeah, I can help you. I'm not saying you can't, but you're not going to be able to help them as well as you really could. And you know, and I had to change my mindset on that, because I have a heart to serve. I think a lot of women have a heart to serve, right?
Yeah, me too. We're
just by nature.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, I really can help you. But at the end of the day, I couldn't help them the best they could be helped. And I had to really own that if I took on clients that weren't a perfect fit for me, I was robbing someone else's opportunity to be a perfect fit for them. Mm-hmm. And I was also doing them a disservice by having them invest in me and knowing that I could not or that I was not the best fit for them, even though I could help them. I was kind of robbing them that opportunity, right? And I would never want that to be for me. Like, if I were to invest in someone, I'd want someone to be so confident that they were a perfect fit for me. And I just really think that's something that you have to have as a foundation before you could ever write any type of content, before you ever do any marketing. Because if you're not clear on your ideal client, if you are not super specific on your offer, you're never going to be able to attract the people that you're meant to attract. And therefore your marketing efforts are for nothing, basically. And you know, I think it really is, it sounds simple, but really at the end of the day, it's not. And I think that, you know, a lot of people get it wrong as far as when they're doing their, you know, ideal client, they say, oh, well, I help a woman who is an entrepreneur and she is 25 to 35 years old. Maybe she's a mom, like all these things. But at the end of the day, what do they already bring to the table? Like in the coaching example or in the fitness coaching example I gave, if you're going to help someone lose 50 pounds, what do they already have in place that will help you get that result so quick and easy? Again, it's probably someone who has already exercised before in their life. Maybe they are now a mom and they have a little extra, you know, the extra baby weight to lose, and they're determined. They're active with their kids. And then a lot of the times too, people will position it to say like losing weight is the main reason. And in reality, like, why do they want to lose weight? I don't think people really talk about that, right? Like, well, why do they want to lose weight? Like, go deep. Like, why? You know, if your ideal client, say, is that mom who's trying to lose that extra body weight, well, in your messaging, you're going to want to say, like, you want energy to run around with your kids, right? Like, and you know that the exercise is going to get you that energy. So, like, that could be a reason why they want to lose weight, or they want to feel sexy for their husband. Like, I mean, do you know what I mean? So,
yeah,
it's like you just birthed this child, right? And you're like, okay, I want to feel like myself again.
Yeah.
And so, really, if you positioned your messaging to speak to that person, do you see how much more enticing that is than versus, hey, are you a woman who wants to lose 50 pounds? Like, you're never going to know like what their vehicle is either. If you're like, you know, say, their vehicle is CrossFit and you are a mom who doesn't want to lift weights, but you want to do more of like a cardio, well, they're going to know how you're going to help them with your content, right? Like if they're not interested in CrossFit and you're putting out all this content, they're going to be repelled by it. If that's not your ideal client, right? So I think that's what a lot of people don't understand, that they're creating content to attract when really they should be creating content that attracts and repels.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't and think you quite get that.
Yeah. Well, and you were just making the point about, you know, speaking directly to them, and it's like, okay, but if you are wavering on like who that is exactly, you can't speak to them. And, you know, you have to go through that process of, you know, a little bit of trial error in the beginning. But that's very much like once you've gone through that process, you have to get specific, because if you're not specific on who you're talking to, there's literally no way you can talk specifically to that person. Because exactly what you said about like the losing weight example, it's like, but why does she want to lose weight? Because her reasons as a mom are very different from someone who is 20 years old and single, or someone who is 65, like totally different reasons. Totally, and that's different. What is like the differentiator. And that's what, like you said, repels the wrong people, because that's really what you want to do.
And even just in that example, I said, if their vehicle, their process was CrossFit, well, they're not going to be wanting to target, you know, 40, 50 year old women. They're probably going to target that girl who's in her 20s, you know, because that's more of a very, it's a very, I used to do CrossFit in my 20s. It's a very intensive, you know, type of workout. And so they have to position their offer, obviously, to be a perfect fit for their ideal client. So it goes both ways. And, you know, I really think that's a huge factor that people are missing. But they're trying to solve so many different problems with one offer. And that's when it just gets really like hectic and muddied, or they are trying to solve just several different problems in their business, period, right? They have an offer for several different things. But then again, they're not showing up as the expert that they are because they're doing so many different things. And really, you know, at the end of the day, when you're focusing on one thing, you're going to do it really well. But if you're focusing on several different things, you're not going to do one thing well. You may do several things good, but you're not going to do it well.
Yeah. Like, to give an example for me, as you're saying this, I'm thinking of, like, you know, I do branding and primarily like brand design. And a lot of people will assume that that like includes websites, but like that's something that I've dropped because I'm like, I can do websites, but really my zone of genius is like bringing that brand vision to life and working with them on the brand strategy and like just really digging deep into like who is my client and what's this vision that's in her head. Like that's where the zone of genius is for me. And so I'm like, I feel like by offering websites, like if I continue to do this, it's just kind of like lowering the overall expertise that I bring to the table.
Yeah. And it's just kind of filling your time with something you're not passionate about or that you love, right? Like you don't, I mean, you're probably really good at websites, but you probably don't love it. You love the brand strategy and you realize that. And I think too, I mean, me and you've had this conversation with your ideal clients is that, you know, a lot of your messaging sometimes attracts the wrong ideal client. And it's not like you do it on purpose, obviously, but it takes someone else kind of coming in and seeing it. I mean, I even know with you, like in my Facebook group, we talked about your help statement. And I was kind of saying, you kind of like assumed who you were helping, right? And then I said, I just asked you a few questions and kind of like dug a little bit deeper. And I'm like, but here's the thing, like beginners aren't really going to understand what branding is because a lot of them think it's just a logo. They don't understand this huge, impactful mission or this vision that you have for your business and how you can really put that into this brand that is your, you know, business. So, like, how can we reposition that? And, like, me and you just literally just went back and forth with a few questions and you're like, oh, my gosh, I feel so much more clear on it. And it wasn't like you didn't know you weren't clear before, right? Like you were like, oh, I got it nailed down. You thought it was great. But really kind of going in and just asking yourself a few questions and really having someone else just come in and really like look at those blind spots is so super helpful. And whether that's a coach or a mentor or something, you kind of have to have those things down, right? Before, and I'm sure just with you going through and doing that, you felt a lot more confident in creating content, right? Because you're like, yeah, I know exactly who I'm speaking to now. Like, I know exactly how I'm helping them. And it doesn't take much. It just takes those few tweaks is really usually what I see with my one-on-one clients is that they have an idea. It's just not crystal clear.
Yeah, the outside perspective, like you said, is everything because, you know, like – sharing what you were just talking about, like with my own like positioning statement, it's like I had that clarity before and I almost like drifted away. And it's like, you need that outside clarity to remind you like, okay, this is who you say you want to work with, but that's not what you're communicating.
Exactly.
Because that's like where the disconnect is.
Yeah. 100%. And I think a lot of that disconnect also comes from, just like you might know who you want to work with, but you haven't kind of put them in a scenario situation and evaluated like where they're currently at and what they already bring to the table, which I've kind of talked about before. Like, again, someone, same fitness example, if they said, oh, I want to work with women and help women lose weight. Well, again, what do they already bring to the table? And sometimes I think we just get so caught up in the online world and all the things that people are doing that sometimes we kind of drift away from those scenarios. So our content starts to become a little bit more broad and doesn't really like have anyone screaming like, this is so me, you know? And I think you have to always keep that front and center of like, who is my ideal client? Where is she at right now? Which we'll totally talk about here in a little bit when I give you the framework on how to create a post that's, you know, high converting. But it really does boils down to those things. And I know we're going to talk today, or we've kind of already talked about, you know, the foundation, but we're going to be talking about the marketing and mindset issue, because mindset is also a
huge foundation. As a marketing strategist, I see people can have the strategy all day long, but if their mindset is off, it throws them off completely. And this was something I had to learn in my business. As a marketing strategist, I love numbers. I love strategy. But really, my coach had to come in and help me uncover some limiting beliefs and some mindset blocks that I had before I really kind of hit the ground running in my business. And it also, when we eliminated those limiting beliefs, my content got so much better because I started to show up like the expert that I am, you know? So I definitely think mindset is also a huge, huge factor, you know, of this foundation.
Yeah, it definitely is. And as you're saying that, I'm just thinking back, like, pre-entrepreneur Natalie, like before I even entered the business world, like I had never even thought once about like mindset. Like what? Like I remember reading the book Mindset by Carol Dweck, and I was like just like mind blown. Like wait, what?
Like oh my gosh, I'm reading Psycho Cybernetics right now, and I'm a huge reader. I'm a book nerd. I read about a book a week.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, I'm a speed reader too. And I have to tell you what, this book has taken me like 3 weeks and I'm not even like 3/4 done with it because it's so like profound that I keep going back and rereading the chapter that I just finished with. I'm like, wait, I got to go back and read this. Like, I didn't get that the first time. Like, let me go back and read it again. You know, and it's talking about a lot of, you know, our subconscious and our mindset and things like that. And it's phenomenal. I highly recommend it if someone's not read it, but it is a very intense book. As far as language, it's very like high level language. So sometimes I'm like pulling up dictionary.com and I'm like, I don't know what this word means. What's this word mean? But it's amazing. And it made me really think about, you know, mindset and different things. And I like to go through this with people who are, you know, struggling if they have limiting beliefs, because you don't realize you have them until someone else points them out. Mm-hmm. Like it's that crazy. You don't realize that you might have this fear of failure or fear of success. And you're like, fear of success? What? No, I want to be successful. Well, there are things holding you back right now that you're believing. You know, it's really, really, really important that you dig into those things. And it also helps you dig into the mindset of your ideal client. You know, for me, my ideal client struggles with things that I don't necessarily struggle with, but it took me digging into their mindset to realize that they struggle with those things. And I talk about that in my content. I can't relate to it, but my ideal client sure can. So I'm talking about those things, you know, in my content. And a huge thing, I'll just go right into it, of the things that you can really kind of identify. Mm-hmm. And I think this goes a lot with, I'm totally not hating on the beginners because we all have to start somewhere, but I do see that a lot of the beginners tend to have this mindset, and obviously it's not their fault. It's things that they've grown up to believe, but they have to kind of overcome them to really kind of like push forward. And it's what we call scarcity mindset versus growth mindset or abundant mindset. I've heard it saying either ways. I like to say growth mindset because I feel like we're always growing. Mm-hmm. But really a few key things that you can note. Again, like I said, beginners usually have the scarcity mindset, but I have seen intermediate entrepreneurs have these certain things in this mindset that really hold them back to really reaching the goals that they want to reach. But I'm going to like list them really quick and then we can dig into them and talk about them.
Go for it.
So first, the scarcity versus growth mindset. The first thing is a scarcity mindset avoids risk. And this is what comes into the fear of failure. For me, in my own personal business, I was so afraid to, and we've even talked about this, I was so afraid to kind of show up and be bold. I am a very bold person. If you know me in real life, I am the friend that will challenge you. I am that friend who all of my friends come to for an honest opinion about a boy or honest routine. You know, like, does this outfit look horrible? Yes. It's not the most flattering. Like,
and
I'm
you're
that
an
person.
Eight, so.
Yeah, I'm that person. But for some reason, online, I was so afraid to really own that, because I was so afraid that people were going to think of me in a bad light. It's all about how others perceive you, right? Because if they perceive us a certain way, or if they don't like us, then all of a sudden it's like I failed. And for me, being an Enneagram 8, we love the control. So for me, it wasn't really about what they thought about me. It was me losing the control of how they thought about me. I was terrified that someone was going to think of me in a negative light, and I was going to lose that control of how they saw me. And so I lived in this scarcity mindset, and I avoided risk. I was so afraid to show up and be bold and actually claim something I'm good at, right? Like, I was trying to do everything and be all the things to everybody because I wanted them to see me in a good light, and I wanted to have control over how they viewed me. But this really, you know, changed. And we've talked about this before, me and you, just, you know, just in general, that, you know, I had a Facebook group that was for Christian entrepreneurs, and, we don't have time to get into that today, but, really I was using that Christian title as a crutch, because I thought that if I had that Christian title, people would see me as a humble person, or see me as someone who was trustworthy in the business world. And I really was afraid to kind of challenge or ruffle feathers, because I was so afraid that people were going to be like, oh, you're not humble. And I had someone tell me that. Like, I remember going in my group and talking, you know, my group is for sales and marketing. And I went live and talked about how to build a sales funnel. And someone immediately messaged me being like, you're a Christian, you shouldn't be talking about money. And like, obviously she had a crazy mindset, but it really got to me. And it, and that label, having that label on there, you know, really hindered me from kind of showing up. And I was trying to avoid risk by having that label on there. And that was just me personally. Obviously that's not everyone, but God really convicted me on that. So I had to kind of change that whole, you know, that whole mindset of those things. But yeah, I basically was trying to avoid risk. And I see that a lot with people not, you know, niching down. They're afraid to niche down, or they're afraid to claim that they do something that's amazing, or they're afraid to charge a high price for what they do. They don't see the value in what they charge because they are trying to avoid risk. They're trying to avoid someone telling them no, someone seeing them in a negative light, versus a growth mindset finds opportunities. I know who I am. I know who God says I am. Why am I not finding opportunities to show up in that way? You know, like that's a huge mindset you have to overcome. And I think people are so afraid to show up as themselves, but you know, people didn't like Jesus, and he's freaking Jesus, right? Like, you have to get over it. Not everyone in the world is going to love you, but if you are not out there sharing your gifts and talents with the world, if you're not walking in the authority that God has given you, you're doing God a disservice. You're doing the people that he has called for you to serve a disservice, right? Like you, it's almost telling God that like, he's not, he didn't make you good enough. Like, sorry, you made a mistake with me. Like that's how I had to really think about it. And I had to kind of step into that mindset of, I need to go where I'm wanted. I need to go where people want what I have to offer. And, you know, I don't have to convince them. You know, another, this going even back to like, you know, the scarcity versus growth, like I'll hit on just a few more points really quickly. I'll just list them out, so we're not like talking forever on them. So because we have to get into the structure of content. But, yeah, another thing is a lot of people in a scarcity mindset must work with everyone. They believe that they must work with anyone and everyone versus they're not focused on specializing in a certain area of expertise. We've kind of already talked about that, so I'm just going to keep going. A lot of them too, oh, this is my favorite one because I want to like scream from the rooftops. They view everyone else as competition instead of referral resources. To me, this is so huge because I see so many people's messaging saying like, stand out above your competition, and like, the market is so saturated. And I'm like, at the end of the day, competition does not exist to me.
It's not a thing.
It's not a thing because there are so many other people out there, who do things similar to me, but
they're not me. Like, God has made each one of us unique. He's given each one of us a gifts and talents. He's also assigned certain people for us to serve. And the people that we are meant to serve are going to find us. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't have to go out there and try to, you know, fight with everybody else. And, you know, even for me, like, I'm a coach and I help a lot of different coaches. Like, I work with a lot of coaches, right? And a lot of people will be like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. They're going to steal all your tips and strategies. And I'm like, let them. I don't care. At the end of the day, the person who is working with me works with me for me, not for, you know, the one marketing strategy that I have. And even if someone did steal it, they're never, ever going to do it the way that I do it. Just can't, it just doesn't, it's not going to happen. And to me, when you're constantly thinking there's a competition, you're going to be looking at that competition, which also means you're going to take your eyes off of your goal. You're going to be too busy looking at what everyone else is doing and you're going to be stagnant. You're going to be stuck because you're walking, you're basically going in circles because you're too busy looking around at what everyone's doing. You're not owning who you are, what you bring to the table, your expertise, your amazing offer, and it really hinders you at the end of the day. And with a growth mindset, if you look at all of like, oh my gosh, I can't tell you how many other marketing strategists I've connected with or other coaches I've connected with who have referred people to me because they're like, well, this person's not a perfect fit for me, but I know they're a perfect fit for you. And most people will be like, oh my gosh, I would never do that. Like, but that other coach knows who they help and their expertise. And they're not going to take on someone who's not their perfect fit and they'll send them to me, vice versa. I don't know how many coaches I've recommended because they're not a perfect fit for me yet. And I know they're in good hands. I don't look at, you know, what people do. And I think a lot of people do that. And that's that scarcity mindset. They believe there's not enough for them. And again, that's also a fear of success because they believe there aren't enough people for them. So they're going to be taking on all these people, fear of failure too, maybe taking on all these people who aren't a great fit, right? And it's just going to, you know, hinder them more than anything, waste time, and also make them feel suffer with imposter syndrome, right? Because when they're not getting their clients the results or consistent results, then they're going to feel like they're not worthy of it. They're going to feel like, oh, I'm not good enough. Like, this coach is better than me. Let me copy what this coach is doing, or let me copy what, you know, this branding strategist is doing, or, you know, all these other things. And at the end of the day, you gotta stay in your own lane. Stay in your own, I like to say, like, stay in your own lane and don't really look at your competition to see what they're doing, but wave to them and say hi, right? Like, hey, you stop at a stoplight. Hey, how you doing today? Like, nice to see you, you know, type thing. Instead of giving them a mean look, you know, like when you're at a, that's really kind of how I like to think of it.
I love that.
They kind of believe, this is like my next point on here, but they kind of believe that if you win, I lose. That's a scarcity mindset. Like, if that coach or that other, you know, fitness trainer or that branding strategist or something signed that person, then I lose. Like, they're making that say something about them that really isn't a fact. It's just an opinion.
Yeah.
Not a fact. By that person signing on a client, does that make you any less than? Not at all.
No, not at all. Like, I mean, can I say that, like, I totally thought that in the beginning of my business, even like a year ago. I remember looking at other people in the branding industry and being like, how dare they, like, totally viewing it in this light of they're getting these clients. Like, those aren't my clients. Like, they didn't take anything from me. Just because they're succeeding does not mean that I'm losing somehow.
100%.
I'm totally not afraid to share that, because then I've gotten to this point where, and I was literally just thinking about this the other day, of like where I'm at in my business. I'm totally like 2020, like feeling this momentum. And I'm like, I'm taking people with me. Like, I really am in this place in my business where I'm like, I'm moving up. I'm getting momentum and I want to take everyone with me. Like I'm just not from a scarcity point. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. It's a growth mindset because, you know, a rising tide lifts all boats. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I hear that all the time. And really, truly, you may be so good. And there's someone that's out there. Here's the thing, or what I've noticed a lot of, because I work with people who do very similar things as me, is they're really good about getting their other clients' results. Like they're really good at getting their own client results. But then when it comes to them, they don't have that vision, right? Because they're like, I can't see the blind spots. Mm-hmm. And so to me, I know that like there's a coach out there that can really use what I bring to the table and vice versa. I mean, my coach and I are very similar. We do very similar things, but she is amazing at coming in and seeing my blind spots. And I've, you know, even had conversations with her of things where she's like, oh, I didn't know that, like type things, you know? Mm-hmm. And you know, I have clients who are way ahead of me, way more successful than I am, make way more money. And I'm still able to help them because it's something they can't see in their, you know, in their own business. I think a lot of people don't understand that. I think they think, oh, you know, you do something, you don't need help with it, you know, and you might be very great at seeing other people's vision and putting their brand together. But then when it comes to you, you're probably second guessing yourself being like, oh, I don't know if I really like that. Like, maybe I do like that. Oh, I don't know. And then you're, you know, redoing your content a million times and like doing all these things or doing your color or something different. Because it takes someone else, again, coming in and kind of seeing it. And if you were, you know, in connection with other brand strategists, you could be like, hey, can you put some eyes on this for me? Because I'm getting a little like hazy or fuzzy. Mm-hmm. I can tell you right now, I can go into someone's business, hands down, figure out exactly who they're supposed to be working with, how to position their offer to work with it, how to create that offer to be of a high value and charge a very high ticket price for it. And you know, create content that sells like hotcakes. But then when it comes to me, I'm over here like, oh, like it takes me an hour to write a post, you know, because I'm like, oh, I'm like kind of in my own head.
Because your own head. Yeah, exactly. Like you can't not be in your own head. That's why people need to get outside perspectives and outsource stuff. And you know, it's funny when you said like the example with, you know, me seeing other people's visions. I don't know if I've told you this, but like, I did not do my own branding until like a year and a half into my own business.
Yeah.
Legit. I had no logo. I had no cohesiveness whatsoever. Like it was really like, it got to the point where I was like, okay, this is really embarrassing. I have to do my own branding. Like,
but here's the thing, the person who needs branding is going to understand that you get results. Like, let me rephrase that. I say all the time, like you should not be afraid to claim results that you yourself have not gotten. Mm-hmm. For example, one of my very first clients scaled to $1 million, a freaking $1 million. Okay. Have I made close to $1 million in my business? Heck freaking no. I would love to say that I have, but I have not.
Yeah.
but I filled that gap for her. And she had, I think, a $60,000 launch. That's insane to me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh. And, you know, I only worked with her for probably 5 or 6 months and she ended up scaling to $1 million in her business. Now, do I talk about that all the time? Heck yes, I do. I'm like, look, I helped a client scale to $1 million. But if you came and looked at my stuff, you would be like, she does not make $1 million. And I'll tell you right now, I don't make $1 million. But I feel like a lot of the times, but my ideal client's not going to care about that, right? Because mm-hmm. she saw that I could help her, you know, fill in that gap. Mm-hmm. There's a gap that we're trying to get them to, right? Again, a fitness, I know I keep using the fitness coach, but it's a great example. A fitness coach can help someone lose 100 pounds, but they've never had to lose 100 pounds themselves, right?
Yeah.
And I've even posted this, which is kind of funny. I like chuckle at this, but I said it to someone and I always say it. I'm like, you know, a male gynecologist can help you with your lady parts and he doesn't even have a vagina. So I'm like, hey, it really does not matter. You know, if you've gotten the results that your ideal clients desire, because you're filling that gap, they, mm-hmm. and that's where you need to know what they already bring to the table, right? She already knew how to sell. Girl could get on a stage and sell.
Yeah.
Girl, like, she had so much passion, so much enthusiasm. She was amazing at what she did. She just didn't know how to have it come across online. But yeah, I knew what she already brought to the table. I knew that, you know, it would be so much easier for me on the marketing side with someone who wasn't afraid to show up, who already was confident in what she brought to the table. But yeah, it's all these things. They all kind of go hand in hand. I think a lot of people miss them. Or what I see in, you know, working with my one-on-one clients is that a lot of them know how to sell. They have clients. They're just not the perfect fit clients. And they don't really know how to take it to the next level. And they kind of think, oh, well, all these experts are telling me I just need to show up. But at the end of the day, you can show up 24/7. If you don't have your messaging on point, you're still not going to attract those perfect fit clients or attract them consistently. And they're just trying to like create content to create content. And it's like all over the wall content. Like it doesn't even speak to the person who's a perfect fit for their offer.
No, exactly. And that's what's adding to the noise. Like there's a lot of noise online and that's what the noise is. It's people just showing up to show up.
Yeah. And I feel like when you do that, it's because you care about that competition, right? Like you're like sitting here saying, well, I just have to beat them.
Like I gotta beat the algorithm. Like,
and I'm at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't care about my competition. I don't have competition. I don't care what anyone else is saying. Like, I'm not speaking to them. I'm speaking to my ideal client.
Yeah.
But yeah, like on that note, because I know we're getting a little long. I love to talk. You know that. I want to go into the people who are here because we are talking about how to create high converting content. Again, we kind of like talked all about the foundation. You have to have that ideal client. You have to have them. You have to have your offer positioned to be a perfect fit for them. You kind of have to already know what they bring to the table. So, this is the format that I use in any type of my post. Any post. This can work for blog posts. This can work for Instagram posts. This can work for Facebook posts. Again, being a marketing strategist, I just want to say you should not be in all the places at one time. You really need to focus on one where your ideal client is. I think a lot of people are like trying to get on Instagram and their ideal client's not really on Instagram, but you know, they're like, oh, well, it's easy for me to do that. And I'm doing Facebook and I'm creating a podcast and I'm creating a YouTube channel. I'm like, whoa, hold your horses. You need to be at one place at one time. And that place needs to be where you can show up the best way and where your ideal client is really going to be. So that's my first little tip, but the structure in which how to create a post. So a lot of the times, one mistake I see is a lot of people don't infuse the art of copywriting into their content, or they don't know the difference. They think content and copy are the same thing. Content is just something entertaining to read. Copywriting is specifically to make a sale. It's like advertising. And if you are not positioning all of your content to be completely reverse engineered from a service or product, why are you even creating it? And again, I'm not trying to say this in a salesy way, but there are so many people out there who are struggling in their business, and I go to their Instagram or I go to their Facebook and they're posting about a new restaurant that they went to, or they're posting about, you know, a new outfit that they got, or just some like random thing that they like. And I have no idea what they do. I have no idea what they bring to the table. I have no idea what their business is. Or if they do, you know, mention their business, it's something like, hey guys, this is what I offer. Come buy it. And it's like, I don't know who it's for, what result it's going to get me or anything. It's just kind of like random content. I see that in so many different spectrums. But really, this is the formula, down to the formula. You first need a hook. And I know that you've heard that all the time. You need something to grab that attention. And usually it's a bold statement. I like to use past client results. So I like to say something like, for example, my client had a $60,000 launch. That's going to stop some scrolls, right? Because if that person desires that, they're going to want to know how, right? You know, another thing could be, it doesn't even have to be a client result. It could be something that's like a belief shifting idea. For example, you do not have to be on all the platforms to make money, or you do not have to be on the platforms to be seen. Or one I like to use is more content does not equal more income. Those are beliefs that my ideal client already believe, right? Like they believe they need to be in all the places. They believe they need to be spending and wasting hours on social media trying to find clients. And I'm making that bold statement because it's going to stop them, mm-hmm. right? It's going to stop them scrolling and they're going to keep reading. Then you're going to talk about their current state. Where are they at right now? My ideal client, wasting hours on social media. They are wearing all the hats and feeling like they have to jump to their client's beck and call with every email ding on their phone. They feel like their income has plateaued because they have a full, their client calendar is full, but they're only making, you know, $50,000 in their business. They want to scale. And they also are, you know, feeling like their clients don't respect them. They're not, they keep hearing, I can't afford that. Like, you know, all of those things. That's where my current client is. I state a few of those things, right? Mm-hmm. Then I go into their desire. What do they wish they had? What does their future look like? And then I can say, imagine sitting down at your computer and knowing exactly what to do every single day and focusing on tasks that actually move the needle. Imagine only spending an hour a week creating content that consistently brings you in clients without selling like a used car salesman. Imagine working with perfect fit clients that never bother you on a Sunday. Like, imagine what those things would be like, right? It sounds amazing, right? You're speaking to their desires. And again, it's not, oh, imagine making imagine making six figures in your business. No, you're going deeper, right? Like I said that earlier, why do they want to lose weight? Mm-hmm. That example. Why does my client want to scale their business? Why do they want to learn marketing strategies? Well, because they are burnt out. They're overwhelmed. They want to be able to know and build this successful business and not trade time with their family or not, you know, trade time working on someone else's business versus their own, right?
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you talk about the future, really what they desire. And then you talk about the belief shifting objections. Why do they not already have those results? What are they believing that's keeping them from their results? Right? Like, what are some of those objections that they have? Again, you think you don't have time to get all the things done, but I can guarantee you that you do. You think that investing in a coach is not worth it because it's a high investment, but my clients make three times back what they invest in me, something like that. Again, that's a little bold, but really talk about the objections that they have. Why are they, what has been preventing them from doing that? A lot of the times it is time and money. Mm-hmm. If we were using the fitness example, an objection for them would be maybe they're afraid to, you know, be seen in the gym in tight pants because they have extra flab on their stomach, you know, something like that. Their objection might be they're always tired. That could be a huge objection, right? They're always tired. Again, not having the time to do it. Those are some objections that they have. So really going in and creating those objections and belief shifting objections. Mm-hmm. Like you don't think you have the time, but it only takes 30 minutes to go to the gym. You say you don't have the time, but I run my business off of 3 days a week and as a stay-at-home mom. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm no one special. Do you see how like you're kind of like also speaking into their objections, but you're also kind of not agreeing with them, but like letting them know that you understand, letting them know that you've been there too. And I know a lot of people talk about this, but again, people are like, I don't want to tell people about my service because I don't want to sound salesy. If you don't tell anybody what you offer, they're never going to buy from you, right? Mm-hmm. They're never going to know how you can help them if you don't actually tell them how you help them. So to me, a call to action would be something like, I don't full out say like, if you want one-on-one coaching, contact me. Like to me, I'll say something like, this is exactly what I help my one-on-one clients with. And it's something I would love to help you with too. If you're interested in learning more information, send me a DM and I'd be happy to help. And yeah, that's the formula right there. And you can use this with any Facebook post. You can use this with a blog. I've positioned this in a blog post, podcast interview. You can do anything.
You can, mm-hmm. you can position this any way, with any type of content. And this model consistently brings me in, you know, high paying clients. I mean, I had one girl, someone recommended me in a Facebook group, was not my friend. She had not, was not my friend. Went to my Facebook page, saw one post, immediately was like, I'm sending you a message, jumped on a call and signed a $12,000 package with me in 2 days. Had never heard of me before, had never seen me before. But she said, that message spoke so clearly to me and what I needed. And I knew for a fact that you were the person I needed to work with. And she had never even met me. Literally, she was like a cold client, like a cold, you know, prospect. Had never even seen me, never, wasn't part of my Facebook group, wasn't anything. And she said, I know exactly what, like what you said spoke to me.
Mm-hmm. I love your formula. And I hope everyone's like taking notes, because if people, I feel like we've covered so much like gold, like if people have not been taking notes, they're going to have to like go back and listen again.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I feel like as I'm listening to your formula, I feel like the key, like why it's so effective is because you're hitting on those like super specific pain points, that it's not like this general, it's like the thing that grabs their attention, because we don't like touching on pain points. Like you're not doing it to be depressing and like drag them down. It's like, no, when you hit those specific things that it's really like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking that, like you're
showing that you get them. Mm-hmm. And that you understand them. Because exactly. No one's going to pay attention to you if they don't feel understood.
Mm-hmm.
You don't. A lot of people think they need marketing tactics when really they need a marketing strategy. Mm-hmm. Because they're trying to do all of these different things, but they don't really have a strategy or a why behind their doing it. And none of it actually goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they're trying to do a podcast and they're trying to do a YouTube video. And then I'm like, well, how do they combine? Like, how is that working together? What is your strategy on bringing those viewers and those listeners to be prospects, which turns into leads, which turns into clients? How many of them do? What is your conversion rate? They're like, I don't know. And I'm like, look, you can have all the strategy tactics. You can have all the marketing tactics you want. You know, tactics are just like, you know, posting on Instagram or like doing different things, but it's not really a formulated plan or a formulated strategy. It all doesn't kind of go together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what a lot of people do as well when they look up, not saying that this is bad at all, but like, I think a lot of people look to the gurus and the big, huge experts in our industry and they're like, oh, well, they are successful at this, so let me do what they're doing. And they said they need to be on YouTube, and they said I need to have a podcast, and they said I need to be on Instagram. But at the end of the day, it's not that they need to be doing all of those things. They need an actual strategy. And a strategy can be so simple. Like, mm-hmm. I can't tell you how many all of my ideal clients and all of my one-on-one clients will come to me and they're like, it really is simple. Like, I don't have to be in all the places. I don't have to be doing all of these things. And I'm like, yeah, you were doing a lot of tactics, but you had no strategy behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it really can be simple.
Yeah.
Like, it really, really can.
Yeah. And I love that you're all about that too. Yeah. And, you know, speaking of which, like, I want to give you a chance to share, like, if people want to connect with you, speaking of marketing made simple, where can people find you?
Yeah. You can find me at my Facebook group is Marketing Made Simple. And it's, you know, high converting marketing and sales strategies for service-based entrepreneurs. So, you know, it's specifically for those clients who have like a one-on-one service with someone. You know, it's a service-based and they have like an actual service, not a physical product. Believe me, physical products are not my forte. So they're a lot harder for me to market than a service. So those are usually the women who are a great fit. And it is women only, sorry, men. If there's any men listening, don't think there is, but
don't think so.
You know, you never know. So you can find me, and that is just facebook.com/groups/marketing simple. And, I can send you a link to
Yeah.
I guess to add in the notes for that.
Yeah, I'll put it in the show notes.
And, you know, my website is, you know, ashleymayfernandez.com. You can sign up for my email list there. I do share some pretty awesome emails, very similar to this call, sharing just some tips and strategies and all of those good things. But yeah, and if you are, you know, interested in learning more about how I can help you, you know, in a certain way, if you're looking for someone for that, just feel free to reach out, email me, whatever you'd like to do. Facebook message me. My email is ashleymay@ashleymayfernandez.com. And that is May, M-A-E, not M-A-Y, M-A-E. A lot of people get it wrong. I'm like, no, it's M-A-E.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing all this goodness with everyone. And I'm totally going to put a disclaimer on here. Get your pen and paper and take notes.
Yes. And be ready to like block off like an hour of time because yes. I like to talk. But yeah, thank you so much for having me. I've had such an amazing time. I love sharing about these things. I wish that I could scream these things from the rooftop and really help you know, every woman just step into her authority and her expertise and make the impact that, you know, she was called to make, because truly you were put on this planet by God to make an impact. And I truly want every person to own that and yeah. really step into that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Well, yeah. Thank you so much for having me, and I'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.